Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, our contact information, then write to our callers on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by with smiling faces, the number 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone calls. First up today is Keith. He's listening in Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Hank. I bless you for the work you're doing for the kingdom. And I love your books, and I contribute to your program.
Bless you. Thank you.
And I believe, like you, what Paul said and what you pointed out, that once you die, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, and we don't receive our resurrected bodies until Christ returns. My question is, on the transfiguration, when the disciples, when Jesus, and they saw, I think it was Moses and Abraham, physically saw them. And I'm just wondering, were they an exception that they went ahead and received their resurrected bodies because to show that they were, you know, these patriarchs were subordinate to Christ, and that Christ was all the God that they talked about is who Christ was? I'm just trying to understand that.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. Moses and Elijah, and what's interesting about this in terms of the history is Moses, of course, is the quintessential lawgiver. And you remember that Moses had been up Mount Tabor before, and when he came down Mount Tabor, his face was shining such that it had to be veiled because he had been in the presence of uncreated energy. Only God is uncreated, and he was in the presence of God, and the after effects or the afterglow quite evident. The same thing happened with respect to Elijah, the quintessential prophet. And what's interesting is both Moses and Elijah had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And so now you have a supernatural occurrence taking place with Jesus present on Mount Tabor. Jesus Christ is being transfigured. And remember, he too fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And Moses and Elijah and Jesus is the consummation of the law and the prophets appear. It's a supernatural event. It is a non-normative event. But it's very much like what you find in the Old Testament where an angel is given form so that the Lord and two angels appear to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. So you have Moses and Elijah taking on temporary form because, as you have rightly said in the prologue to your question, they will be resurrected like all will be resurrected when Jesus appears a second time. Then they will have their permanent bodies, transformed bodies, transfigured bodies for all eternity. Another interesting side note to all of this is, of course, Peter, James, and John are on the Mount of Transfiguration as well, and they're enveloped in supernatural energy. And no small wonder then that the New Testament epistles talk about this uncreated energy. Paul, in particular, emphasizes that as the apostle to the Gentiles, talking about the difference between laboring with his own energy or laboring with God's energy, which so powerfully works in him. So the options are fairly simple. We can struggle with our own energy, and that's like a computer that runs out of its battery supply pretty quickly. Or we can be on the sidelines and not struggle at all. Or we can struggle with all his energy, which so powerfully works in us, kind of like taking the cord to your computer that's plugged into the wall and plug it into the computer, and all of a sudden it has an unbounded, limitless supply of energy. And of course, we run out of energy like computers run out of energy, and so we have to continue feeding on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that we do when we partake of the Lord's table or Holy Communion or the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal.
Yes, well, thank you very much. That's, you explained that well.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call and your kind words. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kathy in Murrieta, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question to ask you. When we return with Christ for the thousand-year reign, if I'm saying that correctly, is there going to be animal sacrifices during that time on earth? And if so or not, could I have the scripture that goes with that, please?
Yeah. Well, for those who believe that there's going to be a semi-golden age for a thousand years that follows the second coming of Jesus Christ, many will say that there are going to be animal sacrifices, that there's going to be a rebuilt temple, that Jesus Christ is going to officiate over those animal sacrifices, and that those animal sacrifices are going to be efficacious for sin. In other words, they're going to atone for sin, which is to say, by logical extension, that Christ's sacrifice on the cross did not atone for all sin. There are sins yet to be atoned for. Now, I don't hold that viewpoint. I don't think that there's a biblical basis for a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think Christ was very clear. All given to him by the Father will be raised up on the last day. And Paul, of course, points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies. So the notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and that the earth is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately 1,007 years later, as is the view of those that hold that animal sacrifices are efficacious, they atone for sin in the millennium, I think is without any biblical precedent. At the second coming of Christ, the bride of Christ, or the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. So while the notion that 21st century Christians are destined for 7 years of bliss and the Jews are in for a Holocaust of unparalleled proportions is being trumpeted in current Christianity, I don't see much biblical precedent for it. Neither do I see much biblical precedent for the notion that there's going to be a thousand-year semi-golden age with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. I don't see Jesus talking about that. I don't see the disciples of Jesus Christ talking about that. I do see John using 1,000 years as a metaphor in Revelation chapter 20, but I don't believe that there's going to be a 1,000-year semi-golden age.
So just to be clear then, you do not personally hold to a rapture then? Is that correct?
Well, I don't see any biblical precedent for a rapture and then a Jewish Holocaust. I don't see any.
I've never heard of that, the Jewish Holocaust. I've never understood that.
Oh, yeah. The way that it's communicated in literature by leading dispensationalists, let's say Tim LaHaye, he talks about this as being the quintessential Holocaust. It is the most bloody, gruesome event in the history of humanity. Two-thirds of the Jews are savagely butchered while the raptured Christians are on beds of ease in heaven, in paradise.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. I had never heard that view before, so I was a little bit confused when someone had mentioned that there was going to be sacrifice, and I thought, well, that's weird, because to me, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Well, and that's right, and I think that's thinking biblically, and I think that's how we ought to be thinking. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, and there is no need for a rebuilt temple. In fact, if you look at the book of Hebrews, the very notion of reinstituted temple sacrifices is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay, good. Good to know. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
You got it. And I've mentioned this before. Jesus spoke repeatedly of the resurrection of the dead during his earthly sojourn. If you listen to his messages, particularly in the Synoptic Gospels, and of course John as well, you'll be well aware of that, but he did not so much as hint at the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age replete with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. Instead, he said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. When Jesus spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, he reaffirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a thousand-year semi-golden age. So my contention would be that nothing in Scripture suggests that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are going to return to a fallen earth with fallen earthlings. I don't see anything in Scripture to warrant that notion. But as I said many times in the Bible Instrument broadcast, this is something that we can debate vigorously, ultimately don't have to divide over. The timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, significant, very, very significant, particularly when it comes to learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, but something that we can debate vigorously. The one thing that I would say, however, would be heresy, and the caller, Kathy, correctly alluded to that. The notion that sins are going to be atoned for in the future, I think is hugely problematic, because by logical extension, it means that Christ's atonement on the cross did not atone for all sin. So men like Tim LaHaye that hold to the notion that these animal sacrifices are going to atone for sin in the millennium, I think have, at least by logical extension, taken one step too far. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Crystal, listening in Kansas City, Kansas, on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. My question is, it came out of a debate that I had with my friends. Oh, first of all, I just want to say thank you for all your answers. They're very insightful. But to continue on, in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, it's talking, the prophets are talking to the kings and how they'll become prideful and et cetera and whatnot. And then later on, in both Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, it goes down into speaking about what sins I've Satan. And then my friends and I, we debated that, that's Satan. And then they were debating, no, that's not, because it doesn't say Satan. And then taking it back to Luke, where Jesus said that he saw Satan falling down like lightning. And so in Isaiah 14, it says the bright and morning star fell, or the morning star fell from the sky. And so the question is Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, later on during half of the section, is it pertaining to Satan? And then the second question we got out of that was, is Lucifer Satan, or are they two different beings?
No, I think Lucifer would be a description of Satan, or another moniker used for Satan in Scripture. And of course, the term Lucifer comes from the original Hebrew. Not from the original Hebrew, but rather from a transliteration of Jerome's Vulgate, shining one, morning star, star of the morning. They're all acceptable translations of the Hebrew text. And so some people say that moniker is used for Jesus and used for Satan. But remember, words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. But as far as what's going on in Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel was describing the king of Tyre as a human type that personifies Satan as a satanic human ruler. He was motivated by the same sins as those imbued in Satan, and would ultimately, therefore, suffer the same judgment. So what you have here is a description of the king of Tyre, and the fall of this wicked king parallels the fall of Satan. In both cases, you have a similarity. There's a besetting sin. The besetting sin is the sin of pride. Of course, the language that is used is poetic. Obviously, the king of Tyre was not literally in Eden like Satan was, and he was not an anointed cherub as Satan was, and he was not on the holy mount of God and so forth. So the parallels are drawn, and the parallels are very instructive because the same besetting sin plagued both the king of Tyre as well as Satan, and both led to a tremendous fall. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The likelihood of the astonishing intelligence manifested in nature arising from blind chance is simply preposterous. Did you know that a sea turtle possesses a biological system that allows it to navigate thousands of miles using Earth's magnetic field? Learn more about how sea turtle navigation and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the new film by Illustra Media. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish, and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Drs. Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who'd use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. For millions of people today, science has become the sole authoritative arbiter of truth. Yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that relentlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. One source that clears up interpretive distortions of the scientific facts about Earth's underwater realm is Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. This DVD demonstrates how underwater life, including dolphins, whales, and sea turtles, reflects the highest level of purpose and design. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
With a quick reminder that if you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so on the web at equip.org. You can actually see the cover of the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, the cover story being Putting Race into Biblical Perspective. As I said so many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Bible doesn't really deal with race in the same categories that the culture does. The Bible talks about running the race, and ultimately there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who are redeemed and those who are not redeemed, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." But many other great articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, a particularly great article in the Christian Growth Spiritual Discernment section. It's titled Developing Discernment in Devotional Reading. It's actually a critical examination of Jesus' calling, and the book titled 1,000 Gifts. It's by Professor Adam Pelzer. At its best, he says, Christian growth literature guides believers to practices that foster abundant, fruitful life in Christ, but at its worst, it distorts the gospel and encourages practices that actually hinder growth. Dr. Pelzer provides principles for discerning good spiritual growth literature from bad and applies the principles to evaluate two wildly popular books in this genre. Again, those two books, Jesus' Calling and 1,000 Gifts, much, much more, including how Christianity led to the rise of modern science. And from the Ask Hank column, What is the Mystery of the Ages? An interesting article talking about how God's purpose now and to the ages of ages is to perfect a bride. This is, in fact, the mystery of the ages, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation and tribe and people and language crying out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Even the angels desire to deepen their vision of the glories of God that will be revealed in creation. And thus, as one body, we sing in doxology, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever and to the ages of ages. In fact, I use the word ages as an apt reminder of the ancient creeds, the A, the gospel, the G, and the essentials for which the martyrs shed their blood. And of course, the scriptures, the S, which in symphony disclose the mystery of the ages. Again, I think you'll enjoy that article. All of this and more in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. You can get your copy on the web as you subscribe there at equip.org. Or, of course, you can write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants who are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David in Maryville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hi. Great pleasure to speak with you. I was wondering if you knew anything about an evangelist. His name is Perry Stone. He's out of Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yeah, we've certainly looked into Perry Stone, and our research department very familiar with his writings and his ramblings, newspaper eschatology. He propagates sensationalistic stories of Bible prophecy being fulfilled in modern Israel, divine healing through communion and prayer clause as normative for Christians. He has a deliverance model of spiritual warfare. He does a lot of what's called eisegesis, reading into the text things that are not in the text as opposed to taking out of the text what the Holy Spirit has placed there. In other words, imposing his presuppositions on the biblical text as opposed to mining the Bible for all it's worth. He's into all kinds of sophistry and sensationalism, including Bible codes, implanted esoteric meanings in the biblical text that with a special insight you can garner from the text. Doesn't know how to read the text for all it's worth, but he does know how to find magic apologetics in the text. Very irresponsible hermeneutic, another way of saying that, very irresponsible way of applying the art and science of biblical interpretation. So not a ministry that we would recommend.
Oh, I see. Why I was wanting to know was my wife and my sisters just love him, but, you know, I've heard him in the revival, and I, you know, there was just something that didn't click, you know, with me, so, but every time I try to tell them, they really get mad because they really like him. So I don't know what the answer is.
Well, just keep testifying by your love and by your life. And when you have the opportunity, communicate with your lips, but do so with gentleness and with respect.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it, David. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Billy. He's in Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Billy.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call, and bless you for what you do.
Thank you.
My question is, or I guess really what I need is some advice. We have some friends that my wife's known for a long time, but, you know, very nice people, and, you know, we care about them a lot. And we're just regular, you know, Bible-believing Christians, but they go to a Jehovah's Witness church. And it's kind of like the elephant in the room. You know, we want to ask questions, or we want to talk to them and help them, but we don't really know how to approach it. And, you know, we don't want to hurt them or push them off of away from God. So I was just wondering if you could help me with, you know, some advice on how to approach that.
Yeah, in terms of how to approach that, I would approach that as I do with everyone else who does not have a Christian worldview. I would prepare myself to always be ready to give an answer. So that when the opportunity presents itself, you can be an effective witness. So now you have a situation, you kind of know what the worldview is. It comes from the Watchtower organization. So I'd familiarize yourself with where the main deviations lie. In other words, I would start with the main and the plain things. I wouldn't get off on rabbit trails. As much as I would stick with those things that are most important. And virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And this is, of course, the case with the Watchtower organization. They teach their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God, that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, that during his earthly sojourn he was merely human, and then after his crucifixion he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So vicariously, even in doing that, there's a tacit denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ as depicted was the central event in the Christian narrative. So I would familiarize yourself with where the deviations are so that when you have the opportunity, you can use those deviations as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and the grace and the love that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Thank you. I just wanted some good advice that I could, you know, kind of think on, and like you said, you know, prepare to how to bring it up, because we know we feel the need, you know, that we need to say something and we just didn't know how to say it.
Yeah, so just prepare yourself and God will certainly give you the opportunities. It's very interesting, if not in this particular case, God will use you with a mission field on your doorstep in some other circumstance. Because if you think about it, the real plumb line is always the same, whether you're talking to a Muslim or you're talking to a Mormon, or you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, or a garden variety pagan. The plumb line is always the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So you become so familiar with truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And of course, this is what happens in the kingdom of the cults. You have a counterfeit. Now, counterfeits, you want to become not real with, but you want to become real with the genuine article, because then the counterfeit is exposed by comparison. So what do people who are experts in finding counterfeits do? Well, they become very, very familiar with the real. And then they spot the counterfeit by comparison again. Then also you have to remember that all cults have unbiblical revelations. And so what they do in many cases is they have their own revelation, or they corrupt the revelation which was given to us by God. The Watchtower organization is notorious for doing that, particularly in passages like John 1 and Colossians 1, where in Colossians 1, Paul says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, just in the space that I quoted, they'll insert the word other four times. So he's not before all things, he's before all other things. And so the basic narrative of the Watchtower organization is that God creates Jesus, and then Jesus becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. So they're tampering with the text. In addition to that, there's always linguistic subversion. So they use Christian words, but they pour their own meanings into the words, and so on. So the cults compromise, confuse, or contradict the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and the antidote is to become very familiar with the essentials.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. That's very helpful. So,
you got it, Billy, and I've written about that in a number of different places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And a quick reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation of your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. So I'll personalize the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. When you join the CRI support team, you quite literally turbocharge the ministry, makes an impact in the lives of people all around the world. You can join the CRI support team in a safe, secure fashion on the web. Again, it's equip.org/donate. Back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We do what we do because life and truth really do make a difference.
A dolphin's echolocation system, or biosonar, permits it to detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think this ability arose from blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the dolphin's biosonar and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, "change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America," end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Alestra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a new film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host,
Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, we are seeking to equip you with great resources. And one of those resources is our resource of the month. It's called Living Waters. It has to do with intelligent design in the oceans of the earth. And I say on the cover of this incredible DVD that it is a worthy sequel to Metamorphosis and Flight. It provides an awe-inspiring, an uplifting, a powerful apologetic tool for revealing the Creator's purpose and design, a purpose and design that pervades life on our planet. It is a spectacular tour of so many things, including of a dolphin's internal sonar system, a mechanism so powerful and so precise that animals can locate and capture small fish buried in the sand. The power and the majestic grace of a humpback whale also featured, a creature whose existence defies the theory of Darwinian evolution. And that's the point. There are so many ways in which we can demonstrate God's creative prowess, that this universe is imbued with His intelligent design, that His fingerprints are in all that has been made, and therefore we see His eternal power and His divine nature through what He has made, through what He has created. I'm often asked whether hippos evolved into whales. Well, in The Origin of Species, Darwin speculated that bears might well evolve into whales. Said Darwin, "I see no difficulty in a race of bears being rendered by natural selection more and more aquatic in their structure and their habits, with larger and larger mouths, till a creature is produced as monstrous as a whale." By the way, in stark contrast, contemporary Darwinists hold that hippo-like animals evolved into whales. So the question, of course, is this a hip potentiality, or is it a whale of a tail? I would say it's a whale of a tail, and for three reasons. First, to believe that hippo-like animals evolved into whales takes a lot of faith. Extant fossil transitions are very, very hard to find. Belief in the evolutionary development of physiological wonders like a blowhole or sonar or like diving mechanisms, I think, takes a commendable amount of Darwinian devotion. You have to bow before the altar or maybe even the statue of Darwin. There's another point that's a second and very significant factor, and that is molecular evidence appears to be at odds with fossil evidence. Fossil similarities point to hippos as first cousins of pigs, while molecular similarities position hippos as first cousins to whales. In either case, again, it takes a lot of faith to suppose that these kinds of similarities provide an adequate basis for neo-Darwinian thinking. And then the third and final point that I would raise in this regard is the notion that unguided, purposeless processes could transform the ears of a, think about this, a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling, saltwater whale, and that in a mere matter of 10 million years, again, takes more faith than I think the average person should be able to muster. This is not faith. It is, I suppose, better characterized as credulity. Now, in all fairness, Darwin had an excuse. In his day, fossil transitions were relatively scarce. Moreover, the science of genetic had not yet evolved. As such, the hip Neo-Darwinian notion that a 3,000-pound hippo could evolve into a 300,000-pound whale through a series of genetic missteps is no less a stretch than a Darwinian bear evolving into a whale with a tail. I've written about this in my book, The Creation Answer Book, another resource available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But these kinds of resources I'm featuring or highlighting today, because we need to be equipped in a culture which is elevating low-grade hypotheses or theories to the status of fact. We need to look at things critically. We need to think. We need to use our minds. I mean, this is a day and age in which we are told that things that are highly sophisticated just happened. Darwin's day, you know, you would take a fertilized human egg and you would say, well, that's just a microscopic blob of jello. Well, in our age, we know it is one of the most sophisticated structures in the entire known universe. And to suppose that something with that kind of sophistication happened out of nothing, again, takes a lot of devotion. The premise, again, is that nothing creates everything. Life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces morals. All of these are conjectures, and what we need to do is critically think about them. And it's not just for ourselves. We're here for a reason. The reason we are here is to make a difference. Always, again, to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. All of that to highlight the fact that we are putting resources into your hands to equip you with discernment skills, to equip with answers, to watch with your kids, with your grandkids, with friends. Living Waters is a resource that you will absolutely be quite simply mesmerized by. You think of Metamorphoses. If you've seen Metamorphoses, you are going to love this. Remember Metamorphoses? It was about the metamorphosis of a caterpillar. You see this little caterpillar that's crawling along a twig, and then it sows the seeds of its own demise. It forms a chrysalis, and in the chrysalis, its constituent parts devolve into mysterious molecular mixture, and out of that comes a butterfly. The butterfly has wings. It can do more than crawl. It can fly. Now, when you see these kinds of things, you immediately know without a preacher and a pulpit that there is a God. And once there's a God, your life is radically transformed because now you live your life by a different standard because there's accountability. The atheist says that everything is a function of blind chance. Everything's brain chemistry and genetics, molecules in motion, and therefore there's no such thing as right or wrong. There's no such thing as good or bad. Even worse, your life is fatalistically determined and there is no purpose to your being. Think about the chaos in our culture. That chaos begins with university professors teaching impressionable students that there is no meaning or purpose to life. The antidote, Living Waters, it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. You can acquire your copy on the web at equip.org, but also via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Let me take an email question. This is a question addressed to me. It says that, Hank, I'm concerned about an answer you gave regarding the age of the universe. If I understand correctly, you said that because nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, that this is proof that the universe is billions, if not trillions, of years old. I know I'm being very simplistic. I would argue that just as God created Adam as a fully grown man and not a zygote, he also created the universe to have the appearance of age, when in fact it was just seconds old. I believe the Bible means exactly what it says, and any confusion is due to our misunderstanding or limited knowledge. I think the confusion actually comes in when we do not know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I think it's critical for us to not only be expert in mining the Bible for all its wealth, but also to do good science. But we should note that the Bible doesn't answer the age question, but you do find the age question answered, I think, quite compellingly in what we see around us. Now, whether or not Adam was created with the appearance of age, I don't know. Was Adam created with calluses on his feet? Do he have a belly button? Was he fashioned replete with childhood memories? I don't think so. But the Bible really doesn't say. But here's something that I think we should say. The notion that God created his handiwork with the appearance of age is logically unfalsifiable. In other words, you can neither prove it nor disprove it. For example, how could you prove false the notion that you were created 5 seconds ago and that your recollection of what I just said a few moments ago is just an implanted memory? In other words, you cannot prove you have a history or a past to a radical skeptic. How could you? How would you? How can you tell the difference between an implanted memory and an actual history? One other point I want to make. Consider an observable astronomical event like supernova 1987A. The reason I bring that up is it is an event with an identifiable before and an identifiable after. Because prior to 1987, the supernova was a star in a distant galaxy 168,000 light years away. But February 23, 1987, the star exploded and becomes a supernova. In other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and in 1987, the light of that event finally reaches Earth, unless, of course, God created the universe 6,000 years ago. Then the supernova might, well, it might be likened to a documentary film of an event that never really happened. So the bottom line for me is the notion that the universe is not authentically old, but merely appears to be old, creates more conundrums than it solves. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for standing with us. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you Living Waters on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.